Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And praise God by singing 397. The Lord is good in all his ways, his creatures know his constant care. To all his works his love extends, all men his tender mercies share. 1, 3, 6, and 7 of 397. We hear the law of God every Sunday morning and know it well. But as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the law of God that is our guide in all of life and must be our guide in this coming year. Therefore, let us give heed to the reading of the law of God as we find it in Deuteronomy 5. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. In chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verses 4 and 5, the summary of the law, especially in the first table, is given. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. May that law be our guide in this coming year. We sing number 128. Behold what God has done on earth. His wrath brings desolation. His grace, commanding wars to cease, brings peace to every nation. All three of 128. Let's come to God in prayer. Almighty God and merciful Father in heaven, who hast brought us again out of an old and into a new year as a picture of bringing us out of the bondage of sin and death and into a new life, or a picture of bringing us out of life in this world into heaven, there to live with Thee forever. We come to Thee this morning to acknowledge what Thou hast done, and that all that happens in time and in history is Thy work, carrying out Thy purpose of saving Thy church. And we come to Thee in prayer this morning to beseech Thee that Thou wilt give us grace to see the works that Thou dost do, and to experience Thy favor upon us in our own lives, and to bless the work which we set ourselves to do in this coming year. For as long as we have life on earth, it is our calling to serve Thee. We serve Thee by doing the work Thou dost give us, whether as a father in the ruling and governing of the home, or a mother in carrying out the father's directives in his absence and in causing the children as best we are able to know the truth and to learn obedience. Whether it be the work we do as breadwinners in our day-to-day job, or whether it be the work that we do as children in the school, we need Thy blessing on it. For it is our nature, Father, not to work. It's our nature to be lazy. Or if we work, it's our nature to seek ourselves and to work for selfish reasons and motives. But it is our prayer that as congregation and families and individuals in this coming year, Thou wilt enable us to busy ourselves in the work Thou hast given us to do in behalf of Thy covenant and kingdom, and establish that work, yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Cause us to do our work in the hope of heaven, ever looking and longing for a day when we shall be brought to live with Thee in glory, and when we shall serve Thee in perfection, when we shall behold Thy beauty in Jesus Christ, and when we shall experience Thy favor upon us without fail and without interruption to all eternity. We are so earthly minded that we do not think enough of heaven. But at the same time, to think of heaven is to think of a wonder that we cannot even comprehend now, that without end we shall live with Thee. We are creatures of this earth, of the earth earthy. Time marks all that we do. Minutes and hours and days and weeks give structure to our life, so that the thought of being in a place where there is no time, and when life goes on without end, almost causes us to faint. It's too great for us. But we acknowledge that it's real. And we acknowledge that by thy grace thou dost provide this for us, and therefore make us heavenly minded, and in our work, and in all of our life, in the year that lies ahead, may we seek thee, the coming of heaven, and our own day of perfect salvation in all that we do. Be with us in this year. Our children who are young today will, in the process of a year, grow spiritually, intellectually, and in many other ways, in great measure. So hast thou ordained that a child in his youth learns at a tremendous rate. And we pray that our children might learn spiritual things too in the coming year and might learn to be heavenly minded. So be with us in the coming year, that in our lying down and rising up, our going out and coming in, we might speak of that which has true value, scriptures and the doctrine that is set forth in them. So be with us in the coming year, that in accordance with thy will, children are conceived and born, as in the past year we were given a number of children. So be with us in the coming year that those children are not conceived and born only, but that in their souls they are given new life to the praise of the glory of thy grace. So be with us in the coming year that whatever trials befall us serve our salvation. That of thy people, wherever they are, some might be taken to glory, and every one of us be ready at any moment to be brought to heaven. So be with us in the coming year, that if sickness is our lot, or death of loved ones, or loss of job, or persecution for thy name's sake, we might bear these trials patiently. So be with us in the coming year, that whatever befalls us, we are brought a step closer to heaven, and that we always abide by thy law and walk in the pathway that it sets forth for us. Keep us from willful and presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over us. Then shall we be free from great transgression. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us. See if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. So be with us in the coming year, that as a congregation we continue to preach thy gospel and to build each other up in the true and living faith, that we do that which the church is called to do, that we give of ourselves for the educating of our children and the support of our school and other causes of thy kingdom, and that we show that our priorities are right, they are heavenly. Thou art our God, Jehovah. Thou wilt be our guide even unto death. Therefore we pray, guide us in the months that lie ahead, if months are yet given to us to live. guide us day by day and moment by moment. Open now our hearts to understand, our ears to hear thy word, and apply it by thy Spirit to us, that we might be profited today, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The offering for the Genesis Protestant Reformed School in Lacombe, Alberta, will be received. Sing number 212. I will commemorate, O Lord, thy wondrous deeds of old, and meditate upon thy works of power and grace untold. All six of 212. We read God's word in Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And now begins our text. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Thus far we read God's word. Seems to be a bit of change in the psalmist's perspective, beloved, as the psalm draws to a close. In the first 12 verses of the psalm, he had prayed in the consciousness of Jehovah's anger. And now, it's in the consciousness of his favor. Earlier, he had prayed that time is fleeting and short-lived. Now, he looks ahead to what the future holds. In a sense, between the time we were here last night and the time we've come this morning, we too have changed our perspective. The end of a year speaks of the end of all things. The beginning of the year is a time of hope and looking forward. The world's hope this year is that it will be better. That hope will not be realized. The Christian's hope this year is that we are brought closer to heaven and along the way experience the blessing of God on our labors. That hope will be realized. Though the perspective has changed, though the fundamental realities which make the child of God come to God in prayer have not changed. Life is short and fleeting. So this year also will pass quickly. I say our text is a prayer at the beginning of the year, almost finished. And maybe last night you could appreciate that the year at the end of the year seemed just to have begun more than you can now, saying, no, it's not almost finished. There are 364 full days yet in this year. And yet, you know, as well as I do, the time will go so quickly that this year too will be quickly passed. And the other fundamental reality of which the psalmist has been speaking is that life is meaningless apart from God, so that Moses has prayed for a heart of wisdom to direct his life to the glory of God, because only then does life have meaning, and only then is there hope in the midst of trouble and sorrow. Take those two realities now again, beloved, and you see the need to come to God in prayer at the beginning of the year. Ahead of us is work to be done. But God must bless that work. Do not want this year, which is almost finished, to come to its conclusion and us say, I didn't see Jehovah's glory. I didn't experience his favor this year. He has not blessed my labors. We need these things. And so we come to him at the beginning of the year with this prayer in our souls and on our lips. A prayer at the beginning of the year almost finished. Notice first that it regards God's work. Second, that it seeks God's grace. And finally, that it expresses the pilgrim's hope. Jehovah will be working this year. What makes Jehovah different from all of the other gods that men claim to be gods and that men worship is that Jehovah is alive. And he manifests his activity, his life rather, by activity, and his activity constitutes work. Jehovah is always working. His work of creation has been long finished, but his works of providence and grace continue and have continued ever since he finished creation and rested on that first Sabbath day. In his work, he displays his glory. So that in our text, the psalmist says, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children, and speaks of the work of God and the glory of God in almost the same breath. The word glory means ornaments. You and I adorn ourselves with ornaments, jewelry, that makes us appear glorious. Jehovah draws attention to himself and his glory in the things he does. And in the year that lies ahead, then, not only will he work, but his work will amount to his saying to his people, look at Jehovah. Look at what he does. See his majesty. The specific work which Moses has in mind in our text is Jehovah's work of saving his church. In the first place, that's evident from the fact that the word work is singular. There is one work
Of all the works Jehovah does, there is one work that Moses has in mind. What is then God's great work? What is that one grand purpose which everything else serves? But the glory of his name in the saving of his church. This also accords with the occasion for the writing of the psalm. As we saw last night, Moses writes this. Israel is in the wilderness. She's been brought low under the just and chastening hand of God. And Moses prays for mercy, a blessing of salvation, the church's experience of Jehovah's favor and kindness. And then that this work is the work of saving the church explains also why in the text Moses says, not only let thy work appear unto thy servants, but also and thy glory unto their children. For the saving work of God is a work that he carries out in generations and in families to parents. And children. Would we say that the specific work that Moses has in mind is the work of salvation? We don't mean, though, that any other work Jehovah does this year you can dismiss and you can say, well, the text isn't speaking of that. All God's works of providence serve salvation. And have as their goal bringing you and me and the perfect church to glory. As Jehovah does this, he displays his glory. His mercy is manifest. His people delivered from misery. His grace is manifest. His saving power to a people undeserving and unworthy. His faithfulness is manifest. He does what he promises to do and has promised to do for centuries. His power is manifest. He defeats the power of sin in you and me and all his elect, which no creature could do. Jehovah's glory is the sum total of all his attributes. That's the work he does this year in the lives of individuals. As he causes covenant children to be born, as he regenerates them, as he sanctifies them and gives them faith and causes them to grow in their knowledge of spiritual things. As he does that also to all of us of whatever age, in sanctifying us and causing us more and more to understand him, and even as he takes some of his people from earth to heaven this year, he is working for the saving of his church. Not only in the lives of individuals, though, but in the life of the church, too. Everything that happens to us as a congregation, and everything that befalls the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the whole world this year, especially as Paul speaks of it, the tribulation and the famine and the nakedness and the peril and the sword, all serves this purpose in that Jehovah is working to bring us to heaven. And so though men deny him, and some say there is no God, he does not work to save to himself a church. He is not the God who sent this earthquake and who sends this war. Yet the believer says, oh indeed, Jehovah exists. And he has done all these things. And they display his glory. But Jehovah will work in the coming year not only in these ways, but also through you and me. For the relationship of God to his church is that of a Lord to his servant. And that comes out of the text in two ways. Clearly, Moses uses the word servant, slave. Understand that just a moment. Israel knows what it means to be a slave. They were slaves in Egypt. Now they're not slaves any longer. Are they? Are they not free? No. When Jehovah redeems his people from the bondage of sin, it's not that we are no longer slaves. The question becomes, to whom are we slaves? We have a different master, but a master we have, and we must serve him as a slave, must serve his master with all his being. But that comes out of the text in another way that King James doesn't make quite as clear. The word Lord, though appearing in capital letters in our text, and so leading you and me to suppose that it's a translation of the Hebrew Jehovah, is actually a translation of the Hebrew word Adonai. The word that the Jews said instead of Jehovah, because they didn't want to take the name Jehovah on their lips. Adonai, Lord, Master, Owner, Possessor. The one who prays this prayer that is very conscious of the relationship he has with God. Yes, a covenant relationship of grace. Yes, friendship, but a master. And I am his servant. And as a servant, I have work to do. But the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands, says Moses. So if Jehovah's work was the work of salvation, then the work that he accomplishes in and through you and me is fundamentally also the work of salvation. Not our earning, not our adding to, not our contributing to, but our work is the work of manifesting the power, saving power of God in us, and it's the work we do on behalf of God's covenant and kingdom. For Israel, that was the work of serving and glorifying him in the wilderness, fighting her enemies, putting aside murmuring, living by faith, turning to her God in all her needs, believing that he would give her the promised land. For you and for me, it's the work God sets before us, however he sees fit. As a congregation, it's the work of preaching the gospel. It's the work of evangelism, preaching the gospel to those in our community. It's the work of missions, preaching the gospel to the heathen. As a congregation, it's the work of administering the sacraments and exercising Christian discipline and caring for the poor. As a congregation, it's the work of building each other up in faith and in godliness, so that every one of us has a part in that work. It isn't just the minister and the elders and the deacons who have this work, but you and I, as we come together as saints in true communion and fellowship, to build up and to encourage, and in the teaching of our children. And that, even more specifically, is the work that God gives parents to do in the covenant and kingdom of God. Teach those young impressionable souls about God. And as individuals, the work of serving God in whatever vocation He's given us, in the home or in the workplace, in the consciousness that He is our Lord and we are His slaves. You look ahead to 2008 and maybe are making plans for recreational opportunities late in the winter or early in the spring. I find myself doing that too. What will the summer hold? What can I do this summer to relax a bit and enjoy life a bit? But in fact, that's a secondary question. It has its place, but it's secondary in the life of the child of God. The primary question is, how will I serve God today and in the year that lies ahead? What work must I do? But in the consciousness that I can do no work apart from the grace of God, the psalmist leads you and me now to come to God in prayer and to seek His grace. In the first place, we seek grace to see what God is doing. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. It isn't that God does His works in secret. It isn't that if we didn't pray this prayer, God would be off doing them in a room behind closed doors. He does His works publicly. But do you see them? And then by nature, because of the blindness, the spiritual blindness that is in you and me, we say, no, I do not always see them. And I do not always acknowledge them. And there are times when I fail to give God the glory for what He's done. Let thy work appear. Let me see it so that I can glorify thee, the living God. But that's not just you and me as we are by nature. You've been redeemed by grace and with our eyes opened. There are times when we forget what God is doing. There are times when earthquakes happen and storms come, or houses of fellow saints burn down, and we don't think of God's hand in this. There are times when the troubles of life distress us and we forget. Find our comfort in that God is working. And as we busy ourselves in instructing our children, we do not always see that God is working in them and through them. We become discouraged and weary in well-doing. And we experience opposition from society and from co-workers and from the government, and we forget that God is even using that. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Let us see it, and our children too. Let them see it. That's the first part of the prayer. So open our minds and our hearts that as we take note this year of what happens in history, what happens in nature, we say every time, Jehovah works, and He magnifies His holy and His glorious name. And we speak to our co-workers. I see something that's going on here. I see Jehovah. I see His faithfulness to His word. I see His power. I see His glory. You don't see it? I'll pray for you that your eyes be opened, because he's working. Let thy work appear. But then not only grace to see, but also grace to experience God's favor. Let thy beauty, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. God's beauty here is his kindness or his favor. That too is his grace. Do you understand what we're asking for? Jehovah's beauty, which is matchless, and our ugliness, by nature so ugly that nothing else in the whole world is uglier than a corrupt, depraved human being. Let thy beauty be upon us. Transform us. Change us. So that not only do we experience it, but we manifest it in what we do. That's a bold petition. It's a confident one, though. We make it in the confidence that for Christ's sake, this is precisely what God is doing to his church. He sent his Son to bear our ugliness and our corruption in order to exalt us to be with him, and even more, according to the text, to be like him, that his beauty might rest on us. You need that, and so do I. If we're going to serve him this year, we must be conscious that that we are pleasing in his sight. If we're going to give ourselves with all our zeal and energy to the work of his covenant and his kingdom, we need to know that at the end, our master will not say, "Get out of here. I hate you." We need to know he's pleased. But if that's your prayer today, think of what it implies for you in the coming year. You can't pray this and then avoid church. You can't pray this and then not go to that place where the grace of God is poured out, where the means of grace are found. You can't pray this and then not have in your heart a resolve to live according to the law of God, for Jehovah will not cause that child of his to experience his favor, which child is not walking in harmony with God's law and precepts. And then think again of how for some the answer to this prayer is not only growth and sanctification, but that last stage of salvation, glorification, taking them to heaven, where you and I will experience the favor of God in perfection. The third part of the prayer is that God establish then the work of our hands. Let us see thy work. Let us have the experience of thy favor. And then we can busy ourselves. But even then, if we busy ourselves in our work without thy blessing, it does no good. Therefore, establish thou the work of our hands upon us. That means, in the first place, direct our work. I have all kinds of ideas about what my work is this year. I have all kinds of ideas about how I will go about it. But Jehovah's ideas might be different. He might say to me, "No, that's not the work I have for you to do that this year. This is the work. So direct it. Show me what my work is." and give me a heart that's ready to do not my will, but thine. And then in the second place, to establish it means cause it to bear fruit. The end of the year, I'll say again, I've spent myself, says the child of God. I'll say, yes, I learned again, my strength is labor and sorrow. But if through what I have done, God's kingdom is prospered and advanced, that's what matters. Cause it to bear fruit. The glory of thy name and to the saving of thy church. So necessary is this part of the prayer that it's repeated. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Apart from the blessing of God, our work will not prosper. Not only that, you understand it's your nature and mine to work contrary to God's purposes. That's what Satan does, of course, and that's what fallen humanity does, of course, but the old man of sin in us causes us still to do the same. We work, whether we're conscious of it or not, contrary to God's purposes, except we consciously seek His grace and pray that He establish our work. I don't mean to suggest that God wouldn't accomplish His purpose. He always does that. But sometimes we say, no, this is the work I have to do. And God says, no, that is the work you have to do. And yet we persist in our way of thinking and in our idea that, no, this is our work. And so we're not submitting ourselves to God. Establish the work of our hands means through what we do, accomplish the saving of thy church. What a blessing when God does that. In 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle speaks of some who are going to be saved, but their works will be burned up at the day of judgment. Especially those from our ministers. He's speaking of pastors in the church. They're redeemed by Christ. They're sanctified throughout their life. Their souls will be glorified. But in their life, they have not given themselves with all the zeal that is in them to the work God has called them to do. And so in the day of judgment, though they are saved, God says, but your works I despise. May that not be true of me or of you. May He see in our works that we, with a right and a true heart, have put them into the cause of His service, have desired to obey Him and to serve Him in all things. And therefore, by the power of His grace, Christ living in us and working through us, He says in the day of judgment, not only are you saved, but I pronounce your works by grace to be good, pleasing, and acceptable. These are the petitions we make at the beginning of a year, almost finished. We'd better make them today. We'd better make them every day regarding the day itself. You understand, you could pray this prayer in the morning with regard to the work that's set before you for the day. And at the end of the day, if you haven't seen and experienced God's answer, must say, yes, I prayed, but then the day went by so quickly, I didn't always set myself to do what I prayed for. But so must we make the prayer at the beginning of the year. for us and for our children. Maybe when we are 40 or 50 or 60, it seems that over the course of a year, we don't grow spiritually so much. But just as in a child's youth, his physical growth is at a greater measure than ours as adults, so his spiritual and his intellectual and his psychological, and our prayer is for our children this year, may they grow in the right way. Such a prayer expresses the hope of the pilgrim, the hope of the pilgrim for the future. First of all, that this prayer will be finally answered one day, and we need pray it no longer when we are brought to live with God in heaven. The pilgrim is the one who is not yet home. He's still traveling. He's still on his journey. Israel in the wilderness, let us see what all this leads us to. Bring us into Canaan. And so the child of God in this life, let us see that all of this brings us to a day when sin is over and the troubles of life are over and we experience the favor of God to all eternity. And the work of our hands will be established forever, and we cannot do anything except that which serves our Lord and Master. We pray in the hope of an answer. But not only will that answer come when we're glorified, it will come to you and to me day by day in the year 2008. Whatever way God sees fit to answer it, He will cause us to see His glory and experience His favor, and He will establish our work. This encourages us. This motivates us. The work is awesome. It is a great calling. We will not experience every moment of our life this year that God indeed is answering this. We will not at every moment experience in our souls and say with conviction, I do see God's work and I experience His beauty. And He's prospered me in my labors so that I found joy and meaning in them today. We won't always say that. But we can believe God is doing it anyway. For God will answer this prayer. He will give you and I eyes of faith to understand that in everything that happens, He's working, and His goal is being accomplished. You and I, and all the saints of God on all the earth, are, without fail, without hindrance, without interruption, being brought to heaven. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, bestow upon us Thy love and Thy grace and Thy favor and the ability to see Thy goodness in all Thy works and the blessing which we need as we labor on behalf of Thy covenant and kingdom. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. 246. So let there be on us bestowed the beauty of the Lord our God, the work accomplished by our hand, establish Thou, and make it stand. Yea, let our hopeful labor be established evermore by Thee. All three of 246. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah, make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.